backwash like we do, you might think life is passing you by. But even for those of us sitting still, the world keeps spinning. Live long enough and you'll have a book or two of stories, I guarantee you. Even Little Billy. Little Billy lives in the Wild a Wild trailer park that Ralph Wismock set up back in the 70s. Not really zoned for it, but that was back when the South End was a little wilder and regulations were flaunted with impunity, if not relish. Ralph owned most of the single wides, hauled them in as rentals, and leased them plus added power and water surcharges. If Ralph hadn't acquired a ferocious taste for blended whiskeys, he might have done okay. But he drank most of his rent money and neglected upkeep in the park. By the turn of the century, the Wild Wild was a ghetto. Tenants made payments only occasionally, and the sheriff steered clear if possible. Little Billy's castle was the trailer at the end, leaning partly into the woods, curtains always drawn. The adjoining trailer was vacant, curtains fluttering, tattered out its broken window, allowing Billy even more privacy. Cats by the dozen came in and out at Billy's through a pet door he had cut into the fiberglass back door of his abode. His neighbors saw more of the feline herd roaming the park than they did of Billy. The trouble began when the Carter brothers rolled in one windswept, monsoonal day late in November, offloaded their rust-eaten 4x4 trucks, then over the next week were joined by their kin and girlfriends until the trailer was wild with metal rock and constant fighting. Strange cars and grungy people came night and day. Billy kept an imperious silence through the next couple of months. Except for the cats, the Carter clan would have suspected his place abandoned. Then, one drizzly night after New Year's, the Carters decided to amuse themselves by shooting at Billy's cats with a couple of .22s. By the time Billy stepped out on his rickety porch step, three of his felines were dead or bleeding next to the trailer. Billy stood stock still, just a silhouette in the backlit doorway, and watched silently as Joel Carter, drunk on Jack Daniels, stoned on grass and cranked on meth, lifted his rifle to his lips and pretended to blow the smoke away, before he laughed and went back inside. What went through Joel Carter's empty head when Billy came knocking, nobody will ever know. "What's up, asshole?" he muttered to Little Billy, who was standing on the porch with a .38 in one hand and a bleeding cat in the other. When he saw the pistol, he smirked. "What now, Wyatt? We going to shoot it out at the okay?" Billy, apparently not much for light banter, put a slug in Carter's kneecap, eliciting a howl that could be heard out to the highway. He watched the back rooms of the trailer erupt into activity, the entire tribe now gathered and shrieking like deranged banshees. Billy held his gun up for silence, and he got it immediately. Then he shot a riding Joel Carter in the other leg, brought the weapon to his lips, and in an ironic gesture, lost on the assembled trailer trash, blew smoke off the end of the barrel. In the novel that won't be written, Billy might have driven off into the night, never to be heard from again. But this being real life and not Hollywood, the sheriffs arrived 15 minutes later and took Billy away. He gave no resistance, and the only words anyone heard him speak was when they shoved his head down before he was put in the back seat of the cruiser. Someone needs to care for those cats.